food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, July 6th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had another nice day in gold today. Gold rallied to its highest level since 2014, and it's much nicer to see gold rally instead of well, it's down again today. Nice running gold, though, from $1,059 from the 1st of January to $1,364 today, up 720 currently, 720 on the New York spot at 1364. Silver was also having another great day, finally closed above 20.15 for silver, up 0.13, and the boxes of 500 1-ounce silver eagles, if you bought that just a couple of weeks ago, you were able to buy 500 of them under $10,000. Now we're about $11,500. So a nice little run in silver and a nice little profit you guys are making for those who decided to buy low. And we're going to talk about the pricing of gold and silver after the first segment today, as we have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment. So let me get through the market report. We have platinum up 16 today, up 16 at 1,089. Palladium was up 6 at 611. The USDX today was down just slightly, 0.13 at 96.05. And the crude oil was up 0.76 at 47.36. Paper markets today, early morning trading, they were down triple digits. Well, they managed to turn them around. The Dow was up 77 points, 17,918. The NASDAQ is up 36 points at 48.59. And the S&P is up 11 at 2,099. I guess the U.S. just does it better than anybody else in the world to keep those markets stronger. Because once they weaken, Katie barred the door. 10-year yield today, 1.38%. We got some info on that again. Just incredible yields on these bonds. The oil, I mentioned once before, euro was up a little bit today, 0.28 at 111. And Asian markets and European markets were all down closer to 2% for most of them. So it's getting interesting, folks. But until we can talk about gold and silver, we have Wendy Wilson here to talk about your health. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
How's everybody?
Just great.
Can't complain.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Forrest.
Yeah. Well, I thought I would talk about what's going on with some things in supplements and do-it-yourself healthcare, basically. A lot of publications have kept readers aware of how much money Americans are spending on their healthcare, how much is coming out of pocket. So the USA Today ran an article on the 29th of June this year, and it was a study titled Americans Spend Billions on Non-Conventional Health Approaches. So they're spending over, according to the article, $30 billion out of pocket on natural health therapies, which typically, when you look at the big picture, it's a small piece of the healthcare pie, about 1%, because we're spending overall on healthcare $329 billion. And so the National Center for Health Statistics did an analysis on this shakeup of how America seeks to heal itself. And according to them, they said 1 in 5 Americans over the age of 4 and up are spending money out of pocket on natural therapies. And so the therapies they said they were spending money on supposedly is chiropractic, Tai Chi, energy therapies, herbs, and hypnosis. So, 1%, that's not a big piece, which means a majority of Americans are really, seeking out the conventional doctor approach and taking prescribed medicines. Or maybe not, because Oncology News and the CDC are reporting 1 in 10 senior citizens can no longer afford their prescription medications. And there was also a study in the American Academy of Family Physicians that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in 2014, where they reported the elderly aren't filing their prescriptions due to financial reasons, and it involved 1 in 3 of the elderly. So they concluded overall 31% of the drugs aren't being filled by patients. And they studied some additional data, which I think, Al, Melody, you're going to find interesting, why patients are being non-compliant with filling their drug prescriptions and taking their meds. They said age is a factor. They said for every 10 years added to a patient's age, the non-compliance to fill drug prescriptions increased by 11%. And they said also a recent hospital stay has a lot to do with it, as well as higher copays and severe chronic conditions, which would require not just one medication, but several. So, and guess what? Canada is reporting, they have the socialized health care, and they're reporting the same thing. They cover all their citizens with free health care, and then 50% of their citizenry is covered with free insurance for drugs, but they see the same trend happening there. So what do you suppose, Al, they're going to do about this noncompliance with taking drugs? You got any guesses?
Well, I'm not sure what they're going to do about noncompliance, but they're going to probably try to shut down your alternatives. That would be one guess.
Well, they've been trying to do that for a while, but there's this new strategy that the medical establishment is implementing on, they call it medication adherence. So they're cracking down on folks not filling and taking their drugs. So the healthcare professionals are checking up on patients. And we've also heard reports from alternative news outlets that people are saying they're getting kind of annoyed by the phone calls from their doctor's offices regarding the follow-up on their prescribed care. And some people have reported the follow-up calls border on harassment. So the medical establishment is analyzing the cost of compliance, and they've even made suggestions as to implementing home visits.
We're going to be able to get a doctor to come to our homes again?
I don't know, but the American Academy...
I can remember when I was a kid, we had doctors come to our home when I was
I don't think so, because we're entering a phase of physician shortages. So I don't think it'll be doctors visiting your home. Probably social.
You think it'll be SWAT team members?
I think it'll be social workers, kind of thing. Now, the American Academy of Family Physicians has actually joined a coalition of 30 organizations in which their job is to identify strategies to increase medication compliance. And the stockholders of Prescription for Healthy America has actually sparked the initiative, so they've called on physician offices, pharmacists, all healthcare professionals, and consumer groups to kind of pitch in for this drug compliance push. Now, It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
What if we just paid for the drugs and threw them in the trash? Would that be okay?
Well, oddly enough, I think some people might be doing that, especially when it comes to, you know, workers' comp. But it makes you kind of wonder how many of these health professionals maybe have ties to pharmaceutical profits. Now, in 2014, Melanie, CBS News reported on this. They said the Sunshine Act requires the pharmaceutical and the medical device companies to report publicly all payments to doctors over $10. Now, in theory, patients can check to see if their doctor is financially influenced by the drug giants. So while I was working in the field of medicine, it was pretty common for neurologists who had privileges at several hospitals to be given a kickback by the hospital for sending patients to them for tests like MRIs and CT scans. And the kickback was significant. It was like $800 to $1,000 for each study that was done. So these doctors could easily add six figures to their annual income with the kickbacks just from hospitals. Now, ProPublica developed this online tool that you can search for questionable payments to your physician, but it would exclude any research or device inventions by doctors and ownership interest in such. So the address is 3ws.projects.popublica, that's PROPUBLICA.org/docdollars. So it's projects.propublica.org/docdollars, and you can just type in your physician's name and see if they've been getting any kind of payments. And so that's interesting, I think.
Do they have a program like that for politicians?
I don't know. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Well, this getting to this, what you were talking about, supplements, this trend in self-care is really, really cutting into a medical professional's paycheck somewhat. And so a lot of professionals in the healthcare industry are kind of critical of the supplement market. And they're saying it's not regulated enough and you're putting too much faith in it. But Daniel Fabricant, now he's the former FDA director of the Dietary Supplement Program, but he's now the CEO of the National Products Association. And he sets the record straight on the regulation of supplements. He says this: dietary supplements do not claim to cure or mitigate disease and are, in fact, regulated just like other drugs. Supplements require good manufacturing practices and compliance with the FDA's adverse event reporting and record-keeping requirements, among other things. And people are fed up with the type of care they get from primary physicians that is covered by insurance. Across the board, he says, people are looking for ways to stay healthy on their own. End of quote. But he goes on to make a really good point. He says that with regards to, you know, who's best interest in the patient's health care, he says the average doctor runs through 40 patients per day and spends an average of 7 minutes on each, which he says makes it difficult to get interested in someone's health and wellness in just 7 minute periods, which I agree, because it's just conveyor belt patients. And I saw that when I was working in the healthcare industry. Doctors can't even remember the details, and that's why they need to keep the records. And they get upset when their records aren't with them all the time. Now, most medical students receive 1 day of nutrition education and have really no education on the use and benefits of natural therapies, medicinal herbs, supplements. So therefore, physicians who kind of ban or shun the use of supplements are really basing that on lack of working knowledge. Now, Daniel Fabricant, again, says this: I don't think it's just Americans who are spending the money on healthcare, natural stuff. He says, I think the self-care movement is global, and it's here to stay. And I say amen to that, because I think it's an empowering thing when people can better their health.
It's not just self-care per se. Mm-hmm. It's also what can you afford?
Yeah.
Modern medicine, they're selling some of these pills for $15, $20 a piece, and they want you to take a couple of them a day.
Right.
People can't afford that, but they can't afford the supplements. They can't afford natural, and it's part of the driving force.
Right. You're absolutely right, Al. It's this healthcare industry, with the harassment of patients into drug compliance and doctors refusing to see patients who don't take the drugs, well, the industry is just pushing people towards the God-given alternatives. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And So I think a lot of people are discovering some very simple yet very affordable ways, as you pointed out, to as a prevention, not only to get and reverse a problem, but as a prevention so you don't develop one. And I'm one of these people that likes to keep it simple. And one thing I noticed when I was in herb school is if you get the toxins out of the system, which can accumulate and cause blockages and malfunction, if you have a free flow of the toxins out of the body and you put solid nutrition in the body, which is the building blocks for the body to balance and heal itself, you've got a majority of the internal medicine issues already taken care of with just those two steps. And you're avoiding a lot of landmines when you do that. And then you add some herbs to boost immunity. Well, then you cut down on the common cold, the flu bugs, and some of this other. So I think people are just figuring it out that healthcare doesn't have to be expensive.
Well, that's driving us. You know, when you mentioned the money that they're spending to, if I heard you correctly, the annual gross for major pharmaceutical firms is $329 billion per year.
Mm-hmm.
That's $1,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. That's $4,000 for a family of four.
Yeah, and they're not satisfied that just 1% of their profits are going to natural healing stuff. I mean, you know, that's kind of greedy.
Well, it's not just greedy, it's wicked. You know, that's what this comes down to. They want to run a monopoly. They want to make all the money. And they want to force you to use their products and, more importantly, pay for their products. You know, if they really want people to use the drugs, why don't they cut the price by 50%? People are just, well, I'm not taking the drug anymore. Wait, we'll cut the price by 50%. Well, I might take it for 50% off.
Well, there's there's another thing that's flip-flopping that people need to be aware of, because we've often heard some of the true statistics that people that do take their prescription meds as directed, it's the leading cause of ER visits, and the drugs kill 100,000 people annually. But the director for the American Academy for Family Physicians, Dr. Rebecca Haffey, she states that drug noncompliance is responsible for 100,000 deaths per year and a majority for the hospital admissions. So she's kind of flip that around. And so I just think people need to be aware of those things, that, you know, an illusion, of health is not really health. You know, I like
even the promise of health from a lot of these people. All you're really going to get is a bill. You might not get any health at all. They're promising they're going to suppress your symptoms. They don't really they don't often deal with the real problem.
Right.
They don't give you remedies. They suppress symptoms.
Yeah, disease management's more lucrative. I agree. And that's what their deal is. And I think people are just tired of that. They want to get to the cause of their problem and get well. That's what a cure is. So if people like to be empowered, we've got a free catalog on natural things that they can do. And the number's toll-free if you want to request one at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs, or you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Another interesting presentation on what's happening in the healthcare industry. It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the prostate kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the prostate kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to visit our website at dgscoins.com. We have a little special today, and it's pretty much the same special we've been offering for a very long time. It's up about over $100 in just this past month alone. We have the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, along with 20 American Silver Eagles, and the total cost, it includes all your shipping and insurance, for $630. $630. Those are some great prices for the silver, greatly reduced for a tube of 20, and these are also, the year on these are 2016s. And, of course, the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, all for a low price of $630. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And as we mentioned earlier today, when we given the market reports, gold, it's rallied to the highest since 2014. You have Asian markets that are tumbling. You have the sterling that is plummeting to a 31-year low. They were all positioned to have negative points, but of course the Brexit was the start of it. I don't think it was the Brexit for se that is truly the cause of it. I just think the world in itself, the global economy, is positioned, and they just needed something in order to begin their tumble to the downside. Certainly,
the straw that broke the camel's back.
And I think politically, the things in England are going to stay the same, but economically things are going to change. And I believe that will be the turning point that history perhaps will point to.
It will be the turning point, but who gets blamed for the change that's coming? Because that change wasn't caused by Brexit.
Of course,
Brexit
not.
May be coincidental with
ongoing.
Begins to have the problem, but the problem is who gave us a debt-based fiat monetary system? Those are the people who are ultimately responsible for the trouble that's coming our way. For speaking of gold, though, and what it's done so far, gold is actually up of almost 29% for the year.
That is correct.
Yeah. That's just fabulous.
Silver's up.
Talking
more.
6 months, basically, by half a year, and gold's up almost 29%.
Silver's up closer more. To 40%.
I don't know if it's 40, but I knew close. It was over 30.
Yeah.
I knew it was higher. Silver's doing even better on a percentage basis. Now, are we going to do the same thing in the second half of this year? Nobody knows. But there's no reason why we can't. Whatever problems are pushing gold upward right now and silver upward white right now, how many people see an end to those problems in the next 6 months? Even if gold doesn't gain a dime for the rest of the year, even if that happened, and I can't imagine that's going to, but even if it happened, we'd still have gold be up 29% for this year. That's just a great year. That's a great year. And we've got half a year to go. And typically, first quarter is not that, it's okay for gold. Second quarter is typically not the best year for gold, the best quarter for gold. Fourth quarter is usually the best. We're coming into the best part of the year for gold. Statistically, over the course of years, on average, we do a little better in the second half and particularly the fourth quarter than we do in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always true, but it's statistically true. Well, if that holds true again this year, it's just mind-boggling. It's the sort of thing, if you've got any gold right now, you've got to be getting a little bit giddy. Oh, my gosh. It's like, oh, my gosh, how long can this hold together? We don't know, but this is likely to go much further.
I mentioned on an earlier program today that I'm already hearing folks when they're calling for prices on their coins and so forth, they want to buy more, but they're going to wait to see if there's a pullback.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's fine. If you want to do some cost averaging, that's okay. But you know what, folks, when it comes to gold and silver, it really isn't about the price. It truly is about protecting your purchasing power. Are you going to hold on? And it can get away from you. You can't time the markets. This is not a paper investment. You can't time the markets. And,
there's another point also.
What's that, Al?
You try to time the markets to save $5.
And if it gets away.
Well, the market moves 25, 30, 50, $100 higher. And you
That's
say, well,
right.
I'm going to wait for it to fall back $5 and then I'll buy. And in the meantime, it's going higher and higher and higher. And you're missing the boat.
Huh.
I mean, if you believe the trend is upward, then now is the time to buy. If you're going to wait and hold, I'm going to save $5 or $10 or whatever it is. What if you do? So what? And what if you don't? What if it just keeps missing, and the next time it goes up another $50, you say, I'm going to hold back, and I'm going to hold off till it corrects, so it falls back $10, $20, whatever. And it goes up another $50. And it goes up another 50 while you're hesitating, waiting for the best possible deal, and you're just kidding yourself.
And
the trend is up, buy.
And the trend is up, and we do know markets do pull back. We get that. I understand that. But you have to understand, you're also buying into the fundamentals. And those fundamentals aren't something where gold is going to drop and stay there. I'm sorry. Gold is not going to $700. I never thought it would. I never believed it would. But yet, people put off thinking, maybe it could. These people who are saying this are supposed to be really, really smart. Well, here we are. Gold's up 30%. Silver's up close to 40%. And so I hope you're not waiting for it to go to 700. But again, you're buying the fundamentals. And Al is right. If you believe those fundamentals are true and how they're going to protect you, it's not about the price. You need to get in there and get protected. When gold is $2,200 and silver is $30, are you going to wait for it to pull back and let it get away from you once again? The reasons you're in there is because you're converting those worthless dollars that you're holding, those promises to pay. You're converting those to something that's real, and that's gold.
You're taking a payment rather than a promise to pay.
Yes,
gold is a payment. Federal Reserve notes are a promise to pay. They're an IOU. The piece of paper with somebody's signature, they're essentially, they're nothing but a promise to pay. They're not payments. If you're sensible, you want payments. That means something tangible, not a paper promise to pay, something tangible. A house, a car, an acre of land, a gold coin, a silver coin.
And I think what we're seeing, you know, with the election, with what's going on with Hillary, I think these are huge distractions. No one really is talking about the economy and what's going on underneath. There were, I think, three to five. I think there's five. I'm sorry, I lost my numbers here. In reference to this Brexit deal of brokers, of funds that are closing, that aren't trading, those are huge numbers. You have Henderson Global. They suspended trading in the UK property funds. There's Columbia, which is part of one of them is part of Ameriprise. They temporarily suspended dealing in its UK property funds.
Why?
You've got liquidity.
Well, it's not just liquidity. It's probably because prices are falling. It's the same reason we have circuit breakers in the stock market. They don't want it to get out of hand where it becomes a panic. But the truth of the matter is the free market is pushing those prices down, and people are saying, no, 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 we just won't do business right now, rather than admit what the free market price is. That would be the way I'm reading it. I'm not telling you that's God's truth, but that's the way it looks to me.
Well, I don't think you can just quit trading because you're concerned about the prices. You know, there has to be liquidity issues within these firms. And if they can't come up with the money in order to, you know, pay people off, you know, they have to shut down. So I think it's a little bit deeper than just prices dropping. They don't have liquidity to pay. So you have five of these funds that have been closing in the past week, but you don't hear anyone talking about that. And does that mean anything? Well, you know, I'm sure it means something over there. But again, it's just another domino that dropped. And it's just a matter of time until these dominoes get over here to the States. We are not immune to what is happening around the world.
Aren't we immune?
You tell us, Al.
Well, because we're doing the same thing.
Well, yeah.
The whole thing is based on there's too much debt flowing around here. And sooner or later, this is going to hit the fan. It may hit our fan after it hits their fan, but what we're seeing in these other countries, there is no fundamental reason to suppose it's not going to happen here. We're doing the same thing. We're involved in the same phony baloney monetary system. There's a time when this is going to hit. This is going to be a problem. We've got an article here, unless you want to conclude something, Melody.
Well, I did. I wanted to talk a little bit more about you have Italy, their banks. Their shares are plunging. They continue to plunge after what is happening. Some of their shares, the Italy's bank sector, that has fallen 57% so far this year. And again, we're not immune to anything that is happening over there in Europe and in Italy. But who do you hear anyone talking about how fragile Europe is? No one.
There's an article here from AFP, which is Agency France Presse, and it's about Greece. And the headline is Greek No to Austerity, a Sublime Act of Resistance. And that's according to their prime minister, Tsipras. And it says debt-laden Greece's rejection exactly a year ago of austerity measures proposed by international lenders was a sublime act of resistance, according to Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. This last year's referendum on the measures mooted by the lenders, last year's referendum on the measures were mooted by the lenders, the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, but their attempt, they said, no, they're trying to subject the Greek people to austerity. Greek people rejected this by a vote of 62% to 38%. And Tsipras is speaking, he said, the no of our people is a sublime act against the Euro bigwigs promoting austerity, but also against the establishment, which wanted to stifle the country. I don't know whether the establishment wanted to stifle Greece or not. But what is austerity? What is this austerity all about? And what it is simply, you reach a time where the bills come due for your debts. Austerity is like you take a vacation, we're going to put it on the credit card, and we're going to Tahiti. Yay! But when we come back, and next month when the debt comes due on the credit card, we aren't even going to be able to afford to go to McDonald's. That's austerity. It's when the debts come due. And Greece has run up so much debt that its creditors say, well, we want to be paid. And Greece says, forget that. We're Greeks. We don't have to pay our bills. And maybe we can't pay our bills. All right. And maybe it's not even our bills. Maybe these debts are of a previous generation, which clouds the issue of who should be responsible for paying the debt. But austerity is something that's imposed by the system on the debtors in order to squeeze the last dollar or drachma out of the debtors. Living on debt inevitably brings you to austerity. Right? Austerity is the moment, just as natural, you know, with every credit card you got. I go out, we spend $5,000, put it on the credit card, and guess what? You're going to get a bill for $5,000 at the end of the month. Now what are you going to do? You're going to tighten your belt for the next month because you won't have as much money to spend. That's austerity. It's a natural process, and it's the idea behind you must pay your debts. If you want to avoid austerity, you need a balanced budget at the government level and a balanced budget in your personal level. You can't spend more than you make. All right? When you go into credit, it's a guarantee that you're going to go into austerity sooner or later. And the point here, then, is what can we anticipate from a government like ours, which is the biggest debtor in the world? Inevitably, we are going to suffer a period of austerity just like the Greeks. And people are going to talk about cutting benefits that the government provides. They're going to cut spending, which means if you think you can rely on government to support you, you're in for a surprise, and raise taxes on those who still have jobs. It is austerity, and it is the natural consequence of going into debt. Inevitably, you go into debt too deep, you're going to have serious, painful austerity. Go into debt a little bit, you're going to be a little inconvenienced. We have gone into debt more than any other nation on the face of the earth. We are going to see a period of austerity in this country, just like they have in Greece. And people are going to say, they're going to vote that, no, we don't want austerity. They're going to repudiate the bills. They're going to refuse to pay, and maybe they can't pay. But all of that points back to that same idea, one man's debt is another man's asset. Cancel the debt, you cancel the assets. Everybody, the paper assets, we are caught in a situation where we are headed for austerity. Day is coming, right? Day is coming. You're going to see homes selling for a fraction of the price they are right now. Cars and boats and clothes and factories and stocks and everything else practically. And the one thing that may avoid the austerity and may become even more valuable will be the gold and the silver. Right? There will be, in the era of austerity, it's like the Great Depression, cash is king. What will be cash? Gold and silver. It will be king, and it will be valued more so than even today. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survivor.
Job stress?
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws dot thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we've been watching as investors are piling into these sovereign bonds all around the world, particularly ours, but it's sending the yields to levels that really haven't been seen before. You had the Japanese 20-year bond that went into negative. The Danish 10-year has also seen their yields go negative. And I came across this chart, and it was a way to visualize the safety, you know, and people go to these bonds as safety. Really, the only place today is safety, of course, is gold and silver. I don't know why anybody would want to depend on a government. But anyway, there is this chart, and it shows a weekly look at the dividend yield on the S&P 500 versus the yield on a 30-year U.S. Treasury. You can't see it, but the gross 12-month dividend of the S&P 500 was greater than the yield on the 30-year treasury. This is the first time since the very worst moments of the so-called financial crisis in late 2008 and 2009. The two lines first crossed just last week on June 27th. And prior to the crisis, this has never occurred before. So we're witnessing something happening with U.S. Treasury yields that has never been since seen outside of the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009. Everybody wants to know what signs are. What sign is it? When's it happening? And so forth. To me, this is one of the greatest signs that will tell you that the stuff is ready to hit the fan. It isn't, if there's one particular item that I could look to that tells me, folks, it's happening. This is one of the greatest signs that will tell you that it's happening right now. And folks, you really can't delay. Sure, they can put in little stops along the way and so forth. When was the last time we heard about Puerto Rico? They just defaulted on their debt yet. I can't even find anything on it. You're not going to be told all these little things that are happening until it is right in your face, until you have lost 30, 40, 60, 70, percent of your money, as you're scrambling to pull your money out, as brokerage houses are not answering their telephones because they can't provide you the liquidity that you want. That is what happens. And 2008, 2009, That was a cakewalk to what we're going to experience. And everybody saw the stock market come back, the Dow Jones from 6,000 to 18,000. Folks, that's not going to happen again. Probably not in our lifetime, unless you're 10. And you probably won't even see it then. So again, I don't inject fear when I talk about gold and silver, because I believe in the fundamentals of gold and silver. I understand the importance of gold and silver, but I do believe you should be scared about what we're about to experience. And if you don't do anything about it, well.
Well, when it comes to selling gold and silver, there's a lot of external events that are scary in their own way, if you care to look at them. But
if you're protected,
it's not a matter of selling fear, it's a matter of selling optimism.
Absolutely.
If you get in, it may be the difficult times are coming, and we can all be afraid of that. But at the same time, you can look back and say, wait a second, there are things you can do to protect yourself. There is cause for optimism for those who are sufficiently wise to act on the fundamentals, and among those causes are gold and silver. If you want to pay attention, get gold, get silver. Don't want to pay attention, that's all right. That's your choice. But you will be held responsible for that choice, and that'll be something you're going to be sitting back, and there's a high probability that before this is done, a lot of people are going to be sitting there saying, you know, I can remember when I could have bought gold for $1,300 an ounce. And they're going to want to kick themselves hard for not having done so.
There's going to be people wishing they bought gold at $2,500 and $3,000.
Oh,
they're going to be wishing they bought silver at $40, $50, and $75.
Yep.
But the one thing, when you have gold, and, you know, don't be scared. Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
It does take an element of that away from you. I mean, you're still going to see people, family members, that will be destroyed. And it's not going to be
got any gold or silver, they'll be able to move in with you, Mom and Dad.
And it's not going to be you're not going to feel like saying, I told you so. This is devastating. It's not just devastating to you, me, everyone will be affected somehow, some way.
You know, you're talking.
Our world is going to change.
Well, it's going to change, but is it going to change to something new, or is it going to change to something old? Meaning, and what I mean by that, when the world changes, the dollar maybe is going to die. Let's suppose that's the change we're talking about. The dollar is going to die. Okay, what comes next? A new and improved fiat currency? Something new? Something electronic? Blockchain or whatever they have on Bitcoin and this sort of thing? Is that what we're going to have for currency? Or are we going to have something old? We're going to change back to what we had for centuries, up until really just the last couple of generations when we moved over to fiat currency. Maybe we're going back. Maybe that change is going back to gold and silver. Got an article here from Market Watch, and it just talks about Treasury yields. The headline is Treasury yields plunged to all-time lows on insatiable demand for safety. My only point, this is what Melody's talking about, Treasury yields plunged to an all-time low. This is a record. It's never been this low before. And why? Because the insatiable demand for safety. What corresponds to the Treasury plunging to all-time lows? Gold moving higher. Some people are buying Treasury bonds because there is an insatiable demand for safety. Other people are saying, I'm not so sure about Treasury bonds. I think I'm going to satisfy my insatiable need for safety by buying gold. The two are moving together, and they're going to continue as long as people need and demand more safety in their investments and whatever media they use to sell their or to store their wealth. And this isn't news exactly. It just corresponds. Low interest rates correspond to rising gold prices. That's not exactly news, but you can understand that they are both a reflection of people losing confidence in the system. They see greater threats, and therefore they want to move to safety. They think, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust the stock market. I don't know if I can trust whatever else, my 401k. I don't know what I can trust anymore. I'm going to move to something I think I can trust. Some people say it's stock, or some people say it's bonds. Some people say it's gold. I'm going to say it's gold. And the reason is, again, if you have a gold coin in your hand, you are holding a payment. If you have a piece of paper in your hand, you're holding a promise to pay. In a world where the promises can't all be kept, and most of them will be repudiated before we're done. That's the main reason to me to get your hands on gold. It is a payment. All the rest of it, your bank account, your 401k, your Social Security account, your bank account, stocks, bonds, they're paper. They're just promises to pay, and there's so many promises out there, they can't all be paid. In my estimation, I've been saying this for several years, I think before this is done, 80 to 90% of the existing paper promises to pay will be repudiated by inflation, hyperinflation, outright repudiation, or somebody comes up and says, sorry, we can't pay the bills. If you're keeping your wealth in the form of, if you put your wealth, in a vault that's in another state, another country, that you can't immediately get to, what do you have to guarantee your gold is going to be there? You got a piece of paper. You have a promise to pay, right? And I'm telling you, I just look at this and the promises of too many promises, too much paper debt. I don't think anybody in the world is going to dispute what I'm telling you. We can dispute when it's going to hit the fan. We can dispute what percentage of debt is going to be repudiated. Nobody knows for an absolute fact, but nobody is going to sit back and say, oh, that's not true. Well, all of the debt will be repaid. No, it's not. The Greeks aren't paying their debt. They're being pushed into austerity. They're saying we got to raise taxes and we got to cut benefits. Austerity. It's just the time you pay your debts. Greeks can't do it. You and I can't either. Right, the national debt, again, $20 trillion translates into something like $60,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. That's if it's $20 trillion. If it's $100 trillion, according to John Williams, that'll translate into, what, $300,000 for every man, woman. Do you have $300,000, an extra $300,000 to send to Uncle Sam to get him out of debt? You got it? How about your wife? How about your kids? How about your parents? How many people do you know have an extra $300,000 that they will willingly send Uncle Sam? Or even $60,000 if the debt is only $20 trillion, as is officially claimed by the government. And see, Congressional Budget Office and Lawrence Kotlikoff, economist, they've both said it's over $200 trillion, including unfunded liabilities. That translates into, what, $600,000 for every man, woman, and child. I don't have it. I don't know how many of you have it, but I'll bet it's not many. And if you look out on the street, you don't.
If I had it, I wouldn't give it to them.
Well, I understand. That's the flip side on it. People say, you know, two things. Government really needs the money, so we're counting on you, ladies and gentlemen, to write a check. we're not gonna see a big influx in people buying stamps to send their checks to Washington, D.C. The debt can't be paid. It won't be paid. Right? And it will put us into a period of austerity. And those of you that are holding a payment in your hand, not a promise to pay, you will be sorry if you're just holding that paper. If you're holding the payment, you got something tangible, you can lay your hands on it. Okay. All right. I'm not guaranteeing that it'll always be worth more than it is today, but it will never be zero.
And folks, you know, when we talk about paper, I know what's, you know, they seem attractive, but just because you own mining shares does not mean you own gold. I would never sell physical gold to buy mining shares. And I know that's out there. Oh, well, you have too much gold. You only need to have 10% of physical gold, and why don't you sell it and buy paper? Don't do it. That would be the worst thing I believe you could do. It's not owning gold. Don't allow the promise of untold wealth. We're talking about keeping what you have. Owning gold preserves your purchasing power. You're keeping what you have. We're not promising you untold wealth with gold and silver. Sure, the price is going to go up, but so is everything else. So again, we're holding helping you preserve your purchasing power. Paper is paper. And so be smart when you're, if you have disposable income and you want to put it in paper, just make sure you have it covered with gold. And don't sell your gold for paper. And yet, that's common. That's a common pitch from those who sell
people
paper.
People want to speculate, they're going to speculate. That's all. They want to make a fast buck, they can make a fast buck.
That's
but
okay.
Here we have gold is, you know, this is an interesting thing, 29% in the first 6 months of the year or thereabouts. Hey, how greedy are you? At what point in time you say, no, I'm not going to settle for 29% in 6 months. 5% a month, 1% a week, that's not enough for me. Why don't you become a loan shark? You lend money out in the hood, all right, and send to get a couple of knee breakers to collect on your behalf if the and charge people 30% a week on the loan or something like that. I mean, this is reasonable and fair. It's surprising, but it is not unreasonable, the price increase in gold, given that the price has been suppressed for a number of years. This is so obvious to me, if you look at it. I don't expect everybody to agree with me, but it's hard for me to look at this and see another perspective where we say, oh, no. You know, there's
what else?
You know, I know you can make a faster buck in other investments. That's entirely true. But it can also disappear in other investments, particularly if your investment turns out to be nothing but a piece of paper. If you're going to settle for a piece of paper in these peculiar, uncertain, precarious times, you know, you are depending on someone's promise. And I'm saying take a payment, put it in your hand. Now you've been paid. You'll see, before this is done, at least in my opinion, you'll see a day when someone's going to say, oh my gosh, you have some assets. Not promises to pay, actual assets in your hand. And you will see opportunities to purchase things. People are going to be selling when they're going to that era of austerity, and it is certain to follow. Going deeply into debt necessarily means you're going to have a period of austerity. When that happens, if you still have assets, if you have capital, and made by that real payments in your hand, you're going to be sitting in a very... You're going to be sitting in a good position. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.